Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. The book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book of contrast. It gives you the good and the bad and what happens if you choose one or the other. And naturally, one of the wisdom lets you know that if you choose the good, it'll always end good. If you choose the bad, watch out. It's going to end bad. That's just common sense. And we come to the 14th chapter. Let's get right into it. Chapter 14, verse 1. And it reads, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." What it means is by her own effort, she can destroy her home. Just toss it to the wind. So how do you, this is just nature in a sense. I'll even use a nest as an example. We're supposed to be as peaceful as a dove, as harmless as a dove at the same time, but know how to take care of Satan. But a dove, if you hanky with her nest, you got trouble. Okay, ounce for ounce, she's a fighter. So it is true that a wise woman takes care of her house. This applies to men also, but basically it is just common sense and nature, basically, that a woman does establish her home and takes care of that home in a wise way. Otherwise, by her own effort, she destroys it. And so it is. A person that can't take care of a home can throw more out the back door. And there's an old saying that a woman can throw more out the back door with a teaspoon than a man can throw in the front with a wheat shovel, with a shovel. So be that as it may, gets a little hard on women sometimes, but women, I have to give them credit. They are the keeper of the home. They truly are. Verse 2, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord." That's to say he loves the Lord. If you're upright, that means you're doing what's right and you're trying to please our Father. "But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him." And in the way you do. If you think you know everything, and if you're going to go against God's reasoning, that's wisdom, regardless of what, then certainly that's not pleasing to the Father, and you're not going to have his blessings. If you don't have his blessings, you're in a heap of hurt. But you got to do it his way, and you got to be a peacemaker. God's children are peacemakers, and perversion will always end up in a way that despises our Father, his word, and maybe not even fully realizing it. But that's what it amounts to. Verse 3, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride." In other words, proud speeches. It's his own rod. He destroys himself by his mouth, okay, by making dumb statements. All right. "But the lips of the wise shall preserve them." In other words, the lips of the wise speak wisdom and make proper decisions. That is building the home, taking care of the home. Whether we're talking about a vocation, a person, or your business, whatever. Do it uprightly. Do it God's way. Verse 4. "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." Always utilize what is necessary to get the job done. The better tools you've got, the better you can profit and accomplish. Here, the ox, of course, was strong, and you could do a lot of farming in a big way. And that old corn crib would be full. Why? Because you had an animal that could produce, could plow, could cultivate, and harvest. And you always had plenty. So the same way is, if you're in a business, have the tools to get the job done. Let's take broadcasting as an example. Satellite television has been a boon to teaching God's Word. goes around the world at the push of a button. Excuse me. And that word, that what a tool. And did Jesus himself not say, greater things than this shall you do in your day? Meaning, he spoke from a boat out on a lake in a kind of an amphitheater type lake valley coming down into it that people could hear. And today we have this, which is to say television. It goes all the way around the world. And we thank our Father for that. But use that God gives you to amplify his work, to get it done. And so it is. Have the tools to get the job. Best money can be spent is to have what you need to get it done. Okay. Verse 5. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. They just spew forth. With every breath comes forth a falsehood. Okay. But one that is faithful to Almighty God will not lie. Lies build up a web that of deceit, of imitation, imagination. It's not reality. And anytime you drift away from reality, you're in a heap of hurt. Your sanity is questioned. Okay. This is a real old world. Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality. We're living it. And it's not something that false witnesses will simply get you in trouble coming out the gate. All right? Why? Because you never know for sure where to place them, whether they're serious, whether they... and certainly you can never depend on them. They'll get you in trouble. Okay? So you shun false witnesses. Verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. And he looks in vain, not going to find it. You can't be a scorner and find God's peace in his word. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. That easy to those that use common sense. You know, again, you want to always keep your feet on the ground. Okay? You're in a flesh body, walk. Don't dream, and know that our Father, using common sense, will assist you. And if you seek wisdom in vain, you're never going to get there. You're going to confuse yourself and everyone around you. They're never going to understand you. Do you know that 90% of trouble, I'll even say 99% of trouble, comes from lack of communication. Simply not understanding each other. And this way imagination or lies or the web grows and grows and grows until there is something imaginary there that is a block when it doesn't really exist. That communication would have solved the situation coming out the gate. No problem. Use common sense. Everybody has feelings, and common sense is a salve or anointment for those feelings, because then comes understanding and love. Okay? Verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man. Don't hang out with them. Okay? It'll get you in trouble. Birds of a feather flock together. Okay? When thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. In other words, seek knowledge where you're going to find it, and you're not going to find it from a foolish man. That's to say, someone that doesn't have the truth, doesn't know the truth, is a ratchet jaw and a dreamer. You're never going to learn anything there that God will respect. And if God does not respect it, his blessings will not flow, and you're a failure. Okay. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. That's to observe where he steps. He watches where he walks. But the folly of fools is deceit. Just one deception after another. I want to describe prudent for you from the Hebrew, not the Webster's Dictionary. It is to cautiously use common sense. I'm going to say that again. A prudent man cautiously, in wisdom, cautiously uses common sense to observe his footsteps, to watch where he goes. And that way you stay on the correct path. You go off in boom boom land or dream land. You don't know where your steps are going to take you. It won't be blessed of God, I can guarantee you. Fools, and the folly of fools is deceit, and the deception of the end times is to worship Antichrist. You do not want to go there. Verse 9. Fools make a mock of sin, but among the righteous there is favor. In other words, God blesses those that are righteous, and people favor them. Why? Well, you should know there's something a little bit wrong with the first sentence in that verse. Fools make a mock at sin. The correct translation for sin is a sin sacrifice, okay? In other words, a sacrifice you're giving because of a sin you committed. They even mock at that. They mock at a sin offering for a sin they've done to Almighty God. Now, talk about being a fool. There you have a real, genuine fool. But you have to take the word sin and understand it for what it truly is. It's a sin sacrifice or offering. And it's amazing to me how that people will still to this day, even in the secular world, they get caught doing this, that, or the other, maybe puffing a little of this or snorting a little of that, and they get fined $500 and they pay the $500 and mock at it. Oh, it's just $500. I'll still snort, okay, until their whole nest goes down the tube. Just flush it right on down the drain. It's going out. Okay. Never follow a fool. Do not keep company with a fool. And God help the woman that's trying to build a wise home that's married to a fool. Okay. Well, I thought a woman was supposed to obey her husband. But Proverbs says if you listen to a fool, you're a bigger fool than they are. So, you know, you have to kind of balance out the big wheel as it makes its orbit and its turns in life. And always be righteous, okay, and forgiving and loving, and communicate, communicate, communicate. Lack of communication causes all kinds of suspicions, worries, fears, and an imagination that runs amok. And just a word of kindness solves everything when you mean it. Verse 10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. In other words, your mind knows where your trouble is and what you've got to worry about, all right, to be concerned about. And a stranger, now again, it's very important that you know what this word stranger is. It's zur, meaning an apostate, someone that claims to be a Christian, but they're not. Okay. But a stranger, an apostate, doth not intermeddle with his joy. In other words, a zur is not going to be able to meddle with your joy. Why? Because your heart knoweth his own bitter. You know what to be cautious of. Your own mind does. And you're not going to let an apostate cause you trouble. We have stands to make. True Christians do. And I don't know that I would call it bitterness necessarily, because I think it's a pleasure off time. But you do hit spots that can be a little bit of trouble. But don't let a fool mess your joy up along with it. Okay, you fall short then, and you've not communicated. You've kind of got a minus there by your name. The heart or the mind knoweth his own bitterness, one that is wise. Okay, verse 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. And that tabernacle, of course, can be your church. But kind of playing back on a wise woman buildeth her house, okay? Well, the house of the wicked is overthrown. It always will be. Okay. Why? Didn't use wisdom. Didn't communicate. And, yeah, hey, you might as well flush it. Down the tube she goes, all right? And but those that are upright, that means that do things right. That at least, if you understand, you might say, well, I can't control what other people might think. But if you control and do that that is upright, God will intercede and things will work out. Don't show a lack of trust in our Father and His ability to make things work if you have His blessings. So, the tabernacle of the upright always flourishes. It's prosperous and it's successful. Verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, there are ways that might be pleasing to a man, but if it's ways of the world, you could end up in death. By that I mean going to hell instead of the eternity. So things that are, don't judge things by whether it's pleasing to you in the ways of the world or not. That'll get you in a heap of hurt and hurry. Okay. But well how could I not do it God's way? Then you got no problem. What is a prudent man? One who cautiously practices common sense. Verse 13, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Well, that's to say earthly joy, or that that seems so pleasing, but it's so earthly. It's going to end up sorrowfully, and it will the mirth in heaviness. That's not the joy that you see from our Heavenly Father. But it's the way of the world, earthly. Okay. Earthly pleasures that are far away from God's plan. There's no laughter there. Might seem pleasing for a while, but boy, does it get deep in a hurry. Verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A backslider, one that goes away from God, filled with his own ways, is that he's going to do things his own way. He knows everything. You can't tell him anything. And he'll never communicate. Well, he knows everything. Why should I communicate with the people, the stupidity of others? Well, give them a break, okay? Talk. Communicate. And you will find out, but what the backslider first needs to do is to ask God for forgiveness and get back in good standing with Almighty God and receive His blessings. And then you can kind of be satisfied with yourself and what you accomplish. Otherwise, hey, it's down, friend. The unwise person destroys their house by their own efforts. Does it to themselves. 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. In other words, one that is simple, that is to say, will believe anything that anyone says. Every word, whether without checking it out in God's word. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. Now again, what is a prudent man? From the Hebrew, keep it there, okay? It's to cautiously utilize common sense and watch your step. Okay, that's to say your way, your path. Watch where you go and make certain that you have God's blessings. You know, if you don't have God's blessings, scratch it out. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to be blessed. You've got to do it God's way. When God gives you a truth, He expects you to use it and be a blessing to people around you. And you're supposed to be that blessing to the people around you. That's why God sent you as one of His election. I mean, what good are you if you're not? The simple will believe anything. It's easy to plant a seed to the simple. And if you plant a real good seed, it isn't long if you cautiously use common sense and communicate. They might pick up on that good seed and truth and find, hey, this works. This is true. Verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. But the fool rideth and is confident. I mean, he is brave in his own stupidity, okay? And just goes right on with it, and in his own way, okay? A fool is, you can understand here why it says don't hang out with a fool. They're always in trouble. They've always got something going wrong. Do you know why? Think, be prudent for a moment. Cautiously use common sense here and figure it out for yourself. They don't communicate with our Father. They don't try to follow our Father. They're all wrapped up in self, trying to be something they're not, instead of being a servant of God and doing God's work and helping those around them. Verse 17. You know, wisdom is precious, and it's not given to you so you can be selfish. It's given to you to practice grace, which is unmerited favor, even with those around you. Verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. You know, if you get hot under the collar, and you're going to deal foolishly. Why? Because anger, when you fly off the handle, is a form of insanity, and you'll say and do things that you do not mean, but you still have to answer for it after the temper is calm. So I'll read it again. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. In other words, he's going to be a little on the stupid side and do stupid things. And a man of wicked devices is hated. You don't want him around you. It's just, that's the way it goes, okay? Verse 18, the simple inherit folly. It just falls on them. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Again, I don't have to go through that again, what a prudent person is according to the Hebrew. But the simple inherit folly because they never look to God's word. When I say communicate, I do not only mean communicate with people, but communicate with your Heavenly Father. Well, how do I do that? Through His word. The word was with God. The word is God. The word became flesh and walked among us. If God gives you that part of truth, then you cautiously use common sense, and you're crowned with knowledge. That's a promise from God. Claim it. But you can't just claim it. You've got to practice it. Verse 19. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. That's just as, that, there is so ever much in that. In other words, the evil bow at the gate. Why? They're broke. They're out of luck. And they're at the gate of the wise begging. Gimme, 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 gimme. Okay. Because they blew it. They've come to nothing. Verse 20. The poor, let's translate this, the needy instead of the poor, okay, so that you have a better understanding. The needy is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. That's just kind of, that's not 100% in all cases, but it is in a lot of cases. If you have needs and you have the handout, the neighbors kind of will, if it continues on too long, they kind of avoid you. Okay. But a rich person's got a lot of friends, a lot of people hanging around with gimme, gimme, gimme. That's just nature itself. That's the way it is, okay? And never apologize for being rich if it's with God's blessings, okay? God promises you, one of his promises is that he will bless you and prosper you if you do it his way. So it is only those that are rich with ill-gotten gains that need worry. Verse 21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. He that shares and has compassion and grace, that's a mark of Christianity. Verse 22, do they not err that devise evil? Question, well, of course. But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. That's what you want around you all the time. Communicate. Be merciful. Let's give unmerited favor. They may not deserve it, but give it to them. And it will do good. It will bring good. Verse 23. In all labor, there is profit. When you work, there's profit. You don't work, hey, forget it. Okay. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Or I'll create a word. You're penniless. If all you do is talk about it and never labor, you're penniless. Worthless. Good for nothing. Labor is profit. No labor, no profit. Verse 24, this has nothing to do with handicapped persons, okay? I want to say that coming out the gate. Verse 24, the crown of the wise is their riches, God's blessings. But the foolishness of fools is folly. It's all they got. Okay? We don't have much to look forward to. 25, a true witness delivereth souls. That's what you're all about, friend. A true witness, not a lying witness, not a false witness, a true witness delivereth souls. But a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Lies of what? Deception that leads to the false Christ, to the Zur, the apostate we read of earlier. 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In the love of God is strong confidence. You can be sure of yourself. And his children shall have a place of refuge. You make way. Your blessings are good for others, and it makes room even for the family. 27, the fear or the reverence of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I mean, you rise above it because you love him and he loves you. 28, in the multitude of people, the king's honor. But in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. In other words, the multitude of the people means a large kingdom to a good king is honor. Okay, he is a king that was able to lead and direct a large kingdom. But if the people all leave him, he's got just a few. It's the destruction of the prince, his kingdom. 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Don't fly off. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. In other words, you need to put your mind in gear before you open these lips and before you speak. One that is slow to wrath, think about things, okay? And put your, you know, it never hurts to put yourself in the shoes of the other and think, where have I gone wrong that they are put out at me or whatever? What has happened here? The American Indians had an old saying that you don't judge a man until you've walked in his moccasins 3 days. Okay, just maybe a little better understanding. Okay, don't be flying off. 30. A sound heart or mind is the life of the flesh. But envy the rottenness of the bones. Your bones is what transport these bodies. And you envy of what others have or do or the gifts that God has given them is rottenness to your bones. It will incapacitate you. But a sound mind is the life of the flesh. It gives you value in life. 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. That's just the way it is, okay? Oppression. At the same time, I'm going to remind you, don't hang out with fools. Good bleeding heart Christians get the wrong idea sometimes. Don't oppress the poor, but don't hang out with fools either, okay? You have got a little spiritual discernment. 32. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, his misfortune, his folly, but the righteous have hope in his death, meaning he's got eternal life. He'll live forever with the Heavenly Father. Verse 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. That's true wisdom. Why? Because you love the Father. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. It always, the talky, they always comes out, okay? What is it that's made known? His wisdom. He doesn't have any. Okay. Doesn't have a bit. Right in the midst of fools, his mouth deceives him. Verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, as long as that nation does what's right. But sin is a reproach to any people. It's a disgrace. Sin is a disgrace to a nation. We disgrace ourselves by not having discipline as we should, by not enforcing law as we should. One more verse to complete the chapter. 35, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. And that's the way it goes. And communicate. You never, if you can help it, want to cause the king. Who is our king? Our Father. Do you want to cause him shame? Well, how could I possibly cause God shame? Well, isn't it true that he's in your heart, and where you go, you take him with you? I mean, you're not a zur, are you? You're not an apostate. So don't bring shame on the Father, and you'll reap a lot of blessings and a lot of knowledge and a lot of favor. This chapter has to do with the good, the bad, the rich, the poor. This one we just finished. The interaction thereof in vocation, as a neighbor, and in family. You can learn a great deal of how to get along with family, with neighbors, and in your business, whether poor or rich or somewhere in between. But the greatest thing that you want to have is God's blessings, because you're pleasing to Him. And the good will always come to you. It will always be added unto you if you follow Him. Think about it. Don't shame Him. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, religion, denomination, or organization. Let's don't judge people. That's not our right. God is a full-time judge. Okay. Don't get on his toes. Okay, you can do that by judging. You are to discern, but not judge. There's a great difference. Okay. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. And again, our prayers certainly go out to all of the nations that are having trouble at this time. And China is one of the larger, we have more students in China than any other nation, basically outside of the United States and Canada. And we just feel for you all, and our prayers certainly go there with you, and I want you to know that. And anyway, you that have a prayer request, you don't need the number and you don't need an address. Why? Because God knows what you're thinking, and He knows what you have need of. But the main thing He wants from you is your love. You've got to talk to Him and tell Him you love Him. That gives Him pleasure. And when you pleasure Him, you've got His attention. You think about that. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, question time. We're going to go with Beverly from North Carolina. What does Pastor Marie think about the hidden code that they find in the Bible? Are they for real, or do they mean anything? They don't mean anything. You know, it's the law of average is all that is. They take the Hebrew letters of the Word of God and find how many five spaces, this space. Out of the law of averages, you're going to hit something sooner or later. What amazes me, I mean, the so-called code is a bunch of malarkey, okay? But you have, and have had for years and years and years, the Masora, which is the original footnotes to the Bible that locks in. The word Masora means to take from my mind to yours, or from Moses' mind to yours without any opportunity of it being changed. That's very important. Those numbers, that code, along with the acrostics, has been in God's Word from the beginning. So you don't need this little game they play, Russian roulette, with computers figuring out words. They are certainly never prophecy. Sharon from Michigan. Does God still heal people when you pray and ask to be healed? Does He still perform miracles? If you're a baby in Christ and have doubts about what you pray for, will you still receive healing? Well, that's up to Him. By your faith, you are healed. Do you want me to say that again? By your faith, not mine. By your faith are you healed. And you need to anoint yourself with the oil of our people, which is to say olive oil, just a touch. And ask, why? Because that's what James chapter 5 stipulates. And you have to ask in His name, the name of Christ, to document that you're a Christian. And you ask for that healing from Almighty God, His touch. And you say, does He still do this? God never changes. He did it in the beginning, He does today, and He will forever. Okay? God never changes. Artemis from Virginia, do you live forever in a spiritual body? I love to listen to you teach. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Artemis. Well, it's according to whether you overcome or not. If you overcome, you will live eternally in a spiritual body. That's right. Okay? It never gets old, it never gets sick, never ages, and it's perfect. That's the way God created us until the fall. Howell from Tennessee. When we are in heaven, will we know who we were married to? Of course we will, okay? That's even written, you can document that from Ezekiel chapter 44, beginning with about verse 20 through 25, that if you are one of God's elect, called Zadok in the Hebrew term, you can go help a brother, sister, wife, husband, and so forth, okay? You can go help them. So naturally, if you can go help them, you know you recognize them, okay? Angela from Mississippi. Is there anything wrong with being afraid to die? is it normal to feel like that? I've been in situations where I felt like I was about to, and I panicked. What advice can you give someone who feels this way? Well, I can tell you, from being an old combat veteran and pilot through many adventures and many years and many things, don't ever, when things are going wrong and you're near death, don't ever panic. Okay. You can panic later. You can shake all you want to later, but not then. Okay. That's when you stay in charge. You stay in control. You stay as a can-do type person, and you take it all the way. Naturally, the law of survival that God placed in us causes us to want to live and to fight off death as best we can. That's natural. It's one of God's laws, the law of survival. And so a little bit of that is built in, but whatever you do, you get over that panic business, okay? Because that will get you hurt. I don't care what the situation, if you're driving a car and you're in a really tough situation, do not panic. You drive. You drive that car through the whole thing. Stay in control. You may be about to crash, but you take her all the way, okay? Because every little move at a time like that is the difference between life and death. So, but if you panic and just throw your hands up, then you're knocking on the door just like that, okay? Don't panic. Drew from North Carolina. Drew, you've got to use discipline. That's real love, okay? I know that it's hard to really crack down on a child, that especially if one's using drugs, you got to get right down. I mean, fatherly tough. Tough love is not fun. It hurts you more than it does them, but you got to do it if you love them. And that's the way our Heavenly Father does too. So, and I see that you say you know I'm a Marine. Well, Marine, you don't have to be a Marine to be a father that practices discipline when you love your child, okay? Now, and discipline is one of the most valuable things in the world to learn, is to discipline yourself. That's especially how, like in the prior question, you don't panic when something goes wrong. You be a cool cucumber, all right? But you need to practice discipline with your child, okay? Why? Because you love them, and if you don't, you see what this does? This lets the child know that you love them. At that moment, they won't. They'll rebel at you even maybe a little bit. But you got to crack the whip, and that's just a figure of speech. There are many ways for correcting and disciplining. But sometimes the best thing, some of the best disciplines is to take things away that they really enjoy most. Just take it away for a period of time. And but most of all, always communicate. One of the main things about discipline is to communicate. In other words, you lay out the plan of the day. You say exactly why you're doing it. That they have hurt you. And that you do not want them hurt. That you're disappointed in them. And they're taking their own life and their children's life and their wife, future wife's life, and ruining it. And you do not want that to happen. I mean, make it clear to them and then bring about the correction. That's discipline. I'll be praying that, Drew, and I hope that helps you, all right? Stephen from Pennsylvania, do you think that perversion in the way many churches are accepting it is the mark of the beast? No, it's not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is to be deceived by the false Christ, thinking he is the true Christ. Okay, that's what's up here in your mind. But the perversion that is in the world is, what does it bring? Disease? Anytime you use something unnatural, you're going to die. Okay, there's going to be disease there to no end. That's God's way of getting people's attention. And but God blesses America. It's a fantastic nation. Carol from North Carolina, can you please quote a verse in the Bible that would help a person with forgiveness from the past? Thank you, Carol from North Carolina. 1 Corinthians 5:7. You know, throw out the old and you're a new creature. And Christ becomes our Passover. You throw out the old lead, the old things that happened, and you forgive. Don't even mention them again to God. Okay? You're a new creature. Nancy from Indiana, will you be able to still be teaching on television, SATCOM, and tell us that we are in the sixth seal? And if it will, when it will be taking place? Well, I'm sure that I will be if everything goes well, but you won't need me to tell you. It will be when the false Christ appears on earth, and it will ring from one side of this world to the other. It will make headlines like you've never seen headlines before. And what an awesome time. And they will truly think it's the second advent, that Christ has returned. That is the sixth seal, sixth trump, and the sixth vial. That's called 666. I'll be announcing it, of course, but I won't have to. You know about what's going to transpire. Roy from Texas, thank you very much for telling it where I can understand. You're so welcome, Roy. Will the first Antichrist, will the Antichrist be on a cloud with a sickle for all to see, or will it be Jesus? Well, I've got PTS over there 100% from NAMM. I see, different times. Thank you for your time and more. You're welcome, and yours also. Thank you for serving our nation. And appreciate that. The Antichrist will appear on the Mount of Olives claiming to be Christ. He won't necessarily have a sickle, so don't be put off if he doesn't. He will be saying this message: I am Messiah. I am the Savior. He always wanted that mercy seat, and that's his opportunity, and it won't last long, and that's where we come into play. Okay? And don't worry about how much or how little or handicapped. The Holy Spirit will do the talking through us. You just trust Him for that. Okay? Linda from Ohio. I have a question, but I have to give you some background. My husband's brother just passed away, and he had been in a nursing home for 20 years. He was beaten very badly and had brain damage. Could he be responsible for things before his accident, or what would God consider him as in Scripture? I don't know Scripture. Well, don't try to judge him, okay? You never know what was in his mind. All he had to do was repent one time with the Lord and let him know he loved him, okay? And I'm sure he did through that, okay? I'm sure that, Linda, that many people that you don't even know about talked to him about the Father in that nursing home in that 20-year period. We have people that's their ministry. And you'll never know about it, but they do. And let God do the leading. And besides that, you'll be able to help them in the millennium if that were to be necessary. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 25. Deborah from Las Vegas, any documentation to support the right or favor from our Heavenly Father to pray with requests for strength or healing for others? Hebrews 7:25, okay, that'll help you out some. There are many of them in God's Word. It's called intercessory prayer. You betcha. That's it's wonderful to pray for others. And when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, "Our Father." They ask him, "So how are we going to pray?" And he said, "You pray this way: to our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us. Us is plural. It means everybody. Okay. Connected to. That's for others. Even in the very prayer that you were led to say. Okay. Bonnie from... I don't know where Bonnie's from. I have a question. When Satan is in the Holy Land down here, and people say to us that Jesus is here, do we tell them, no, it's not Jesus, or do we say nothing? Well, Bonnie, you trust the Holy Spirit. At that time, He'll be leading us and directing us. Naturally, we're going to teach right up to the last minute, but we are warned very near that Lord's Prayer that I just quoted from. It states, if you pass someone in the byway, agree with them or they'll deliver you up to the judge. Meaning, if they say Jesus is here, don't argue with strangers. It's dangerous. Okay, that's what God is telling you. But family, that's a different story. Okay, Betty, or a close friend, Betty from Michigan. If you can, could you answer this question for me? Did Cain's wife come from the birth of a woman? I love studying with Pastor Murray. Well, I'm glad you do. And yes, Cain married one of the six-day creation from the land of Nod. Okay, they had dispersed, and he went there and he took a wife. So it was. He was not... He married a woman that would have been naturally born a woman. Nancy from Washington. Question. I know that Christ did not come to change one jot or tittle, but what else can I say to those that only study the New Testament as with the food laws? 1 Timothy 4:3. Understand this. Food laws are not a sin to death, but food laws are a sin to your health. Okay. So I say that because always equate. I mean, don't drive somebody away from the word over food laws. Okay. If it's better to plant other seeds. But 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 tells you, don't let anyone judge you in food. To receive that God created to be received. Okay. Not scavengers. God didn't create scavengers to be received. Got that? Leviticus 11 lets you know, but the New Testament will declare, what did God create to be received? Well, unfortunately for a New Testament person, they gotta go to the Old, but there is a division there. Another place they should be able to get it is from Acts chapter 10 and 11, where God let a sheet of unclean animals down to Peter and said, eat. And Peter said, uh-uh. And naturally, but then God explained, I'm not expecting you to eat the filth of scavengers. It's just that I'm accepting Gentiles in salvation, so don't call them unclean. It was people, not animals, that... was discussed there. Call no man common, as it's written there. Josephine from California. My husband, for whom I'm divorced, is Greek, and I have a Greek scripture book in John 1:1. Well, I'm not going to go into what this book he has says. It reads like this: in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And read on in that first chapter in the second where it says, and the Word became flesh and walked among us. Okay. That was Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. God is the Word. It is His Word. That's why, you know something? As it's written in Mark 13, seasons will change, dispensations of time will change, but God's Word will never, never, never change. Okay. Mark 13. Mac from Maryland. If we return to the Father immediately when we die, when does the resurrection take place? Right then. Okay. The word resurrect, I'd like for you to look it up in your Greek dictionary of your Strong's Concordance, and you'll note it has three meanings. Okay. Resurrection does. Which resurrection are you talking about? I could say, but I won't do that because I know the one you're talking about. You're talking about returning to the Father. That happens right then, immediately. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 documents that fact. Carol from South Carolina. How do we learn to forgive people? By loving them, okay? By knowing that our Father won't forgive you if you don't forgive them. You're in trouble, friend, Carol, if you don't forgive them. You may not, you don't necessarily have to even go to them and say, I forgive you. But you have to forgive them, or it'll build up like an old boil and just ruin your life. So, and besides that, God won't forgive you if you don't forgive them. So there you got it. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Makes this day. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, but hey, there's one thing that's more important than anything else. That's that you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, yes.